Welcome back to another episode of Movie Madness. I'm your host, Henry Thompson, and joining me once more into the breach is my brother, Wayne Thompson. Wayne, sup, man?
What's up? All's good in the neighborhood.
Nice Fantastic. To see you again. And we are joined here today by Vision and Media, which is Lola Louise and Lee McShane. Say hello, you guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Fantastic.
See you
that
too
deep
again.
Voice, man. Honestly, it's like Batman and Robin over here.
I know, it's just made me go nice and high now.
Yeah. I better not try to mimic. So anyway, I don't know what's going on. So, Visionet Media, you guys. Now, obviously, we've interviewed you guys before in regards to one of the projects that is still in the development phase leading toward the pre-production, which is Monday Blues. But I know you guys have been off doing a bunch of stuff in the interim on your own backs. And this is what forms Vision and Media. Is that right?
Technically, no.
It was technically, no.
Yeah, it was established in December 2018, but mostly to do photography. Basically, someone told us that I'd never, ever be able to succeed. So I was like, just watch us. So I set it up and it just kept going. Tried to make some films, but it just didn't work out. So that went on the back burner for like years. And now, because I've got a good team around us, I was like, yeah, let's just do this. Let's just go out and make loads of stuff. So it just happened.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And how'd you find your team? What brought people together?
I think it was just like the people we'd already like kind of interacted with, like in the years. So like people we're working with, it's kind of like, you know, Liam, Amy, just the people like we know who are kind
for
of
our
like
audience. You gotta spell those names out a bit more.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously we know who these are, but nobody's gonna know who they are.
Right. So person who we kind of use as the camera person in kind of DP, Liam Barrowin. I can't see his last name.
Bowering. Yeah, I know Liam. I know Liam.
Yes. And this way, me.
Good dude, bad haircut.
Unless he's joined the army, then he's fine.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's just people we've interacted with, people who we know who were like, you know what? These people who said they were willing to help out on basically Monday Blues, hey, well, bring them in. Mm-hmm. They sort of know what they're doing, and turns out they actually do know what they're doing. Although there have been a few people who haven't known what they were doing.
As is often the case, you got to break some eggs to get that omelet going, huh?
Yeah. Question is, though, are this the league to help? That's the question.
Definitely.
Because as long as, even if you don't know what you're doing, as long as you've got people who's there eager just to even just go and run, do an errand, is helpful.
Yeah, we've found out who fits best in each role. So then the dynamic's a lot better going on to other productions, which is also a bonus because it sometimes saves a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Like, we shot an entire short film. I think it was like 10-minute one in just a full day. I think maybe like 6 hours, 7 hours, maybe less. I don't even know.
I think it's been roughly close to seven.
You weren't even there, so we can't see anything.
Going by the timings, yeah. But going by the timings of when you started and when I got the message saying you were finished, I'd say roughly 7 hours.
Yeah, and we even had an hour's break in between.
Damn. So, Lola, I'm guessing you set this up and Lee joined later and then the rest of the team formed over time, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, my best friend and I set it up, but, well, she didn't really have that much interest in it, I would say. So it just ended up being me for a long time and then other people coming on board, then leaving. And I was like, you know what? Me and Lee are just joined at the hip now. We both finish each other's work. We're just like, I can write something and he can write the end of it. And I'd be like, yep, that's what I was going to write. I don't even have to tell him.
So very, very close bond is formed there. That's fantastic.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Finish each other.
So where did the name, where did you get the name Visionets from?
I don't know. I think it's because I had a vision, and then like Et itself is just female. So I was like, yeah, I was like, I'll just throw that on there. And it just happened.
Cool. Cool, cool. It's that's where names normally come from, just out of the blue. So yeah, it's good. Good.
So and, primarily, sorry, go on, Wayne.
No, go on.
I was just going to say, primarily, what's the first things you guys have done, and kind of give us a little overview of what you've been up to.
Definitely been busy. That's for one.
Do we list all the projects? Is that many?
Yeah.
Well, what do you primarily do? Are you looking at just doing like films or music videos, or are you doing everything?
Pretty much everything. I would say we've got like a few TV show ideas, which we're going to try and get off the ground. And then we've got short films, we've got spin-offs, we've got music videos to do, talk show, which is still ongoing. It's just busy.
Good stuff.
Show, is that, have I seen that it's a podcast you guys do?
Yeah.
What's that called? Let people know where they can listen to it?
The Double L Show.
Yep, and is that available on multiple platforms or YouTube?
It can be found on Vision and Media's YouTube. It can be found on Spotify, Apple Music,
Amazon, Audible. Amazon.
Fantastic. And do
you know what's freaked you, right? I didn't know you were called the Double L Show, and I think messaged Hank earlier, said, oh, we've got the two L's on.
Yeah.
So that's bizarre. That is freaky. So, yeah. Sorry, Hank, you were saying there.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, your show is mostly interviewing celebrities, isn't it?
Yeah, which is still mind-blowing.
Yeah. Hard to compliment the people we've actually talked to.
Who have you spoken to so far?
Honestly, so many. I'd say the biggest is Sasha Alexander. Mm-hmm. Like, best thing that's ever happened. And I even managed to get her to read my work.
Right, I'm going to sound a bit dumb here, but who's Sasha Alexander?
Yeah, I didn't know either.
God.
Bearing in mind, if she's on British TV, I don't really watch British TV. So that's why.
Well, she's not. She's American.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Right. NCIS, Rosalie and Isles. She was in Shameless US.
Who is she in NCIS?
Kate
Todd in the first two seasons of NCIS.
I'm with you now. Yeah. I'm with you.
Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, everyone.
I think it's been like 18 years. I think it's safe.
Yeah. Winter season 22 or something now, I think. 21, 22.
21.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I mean, we got an exclusive what went behind the scenes and was
crazy to find that out. Like,
yeah, we're still kind of shocked by what goes on behind the scenes sometimes and what makes actors quit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it can be interesting.
Well, I tell you guys, why don't you give us a couple of little examples of some of these like blurbs that you've heard from these people and great experiences you've had to draw people to listen to the rest of your show?
Give
us some teasers, some tidbits.
We did hear from Sasha about our character in Rosalie and Isles that she plays a doctor in the medical kind of jargon that she has to speak. What she does when she's learning her lines is she likes to find out what it means, so she's not just spouting out lines. She actually knows kind of, I'm saying this because of this reason. So and I was like, wow, yeah. Said the lines.
So she's kind of method acting. She's kind of getting into that character, which actually is becoming more common these days.
Yeah, I feel like another thing, just specifically from that interview, is the fact that we found out what Mark Harmon is actually like on NCIS.
I've read the rumors. I've heard a lot about that. Yeah,
and she just clarified it even more that what went down was just not cool. And yeah, was getting attacked for it in a comment section this morning. Because people are so lovely.
That's the problem in the media world. You know, you never safe from anybody, really. It's scary, but you've got to learn just to switch off from it. It's the easiest way to do it. I know you shouldn't have to, but you're always going to have somebody who is going to speak negative of you.
Well, at the end of the day, if you're anywhere involved in the entertainment industry, creative arts industry, you have to have a thick skin for these kind of things. Mm-hmm. I'm not arguing that it's right that people...
And that's what I'm saying. Not right at all, but...
But in a society with free speech, you have to expect that some people utilize that free speech, especially anonymously, to talk a lot of shit and be mean. Sometimes it's unnecessary, of course.
Sometimes it's done deliberately to try and wind the person up to see if they can get them to react, to say, like, well, really, you're the bad person. And again, it's wrong, but sadly it happens. But the stronger people, they prevail and they do really well. And like I say, I know who you mean now, and she's actually had quite a good career.
She's honestly the sweetest as well. Like,
she is.
She's doing all of her own work at the moment, which is kind of in line with what we're doing. And I'm just waiting on feedback. I'm just like, please, just bring us some feedback so I can launch this show.
Yeah.
I've had so much interest, and that's We Are Gold. And honestly, the amount of interest mainly I've had, we spoke to half the actors that were wanting the show, and they're all like, I want to read it.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about We Are Gold.
I'm so bad at pitching it. It follows two.
Lee, do you want to do a pitch?
I don't know. His pitches is so bad at times. I can't.
Yeah, they can be.
Ouch.
So, We Are Gold follows Tiffany Gold, a actress from America, and let's just say her life's had a bit of a bad downward spiral. Substance abuse issues. One character who literally I would push off a cliff if I could. Another character who I want to adopt me if they were actual character. Like, yeah, it's dramatic. God. It's intense. And I remember writing the episode that I wrote. I was just like, I had to take breaks, because I was just like, I cannot write this character. It makes me physically angry.
Oh my God. I would have pitched it totally differently.
Yeah, let's hear your pitch then. Go on. Let's compare the two. We'll do a comparison chart.
Yeah. It follows two black sheep of a rich family, both of them now estranged, and they find each other and they help each other through loads of emotions and loads of trauma to become a better person at the end of the day. And it's just the friendship and the bond that's there is just beautiful. And it shows Tiffany that she's actually worthy of being alive instead of not being the alternative.
Mm. And so what is this being pitched as? Is this like a television pilot? How long? That kind of thing?
TV show with 8 episodes, but the last episode is like 45 minutes, because there's no way we can do the finale in any less.
Oh, so they're like half an hour episodes?
Yeah.
Roughly, yeah.
Okay. Are these being independently produced? Or are you seeking budgets, or how are you putting it together? Like, what's the production schedule for your We Are Gold?
We have no idea. We don't really know how we're going to do it, but if we can get names attached, then that's going to pull a lot of weight. I mean, the fans themselves are so dedicated. Like, I've had some of them read it, and they're like, I want the second episode. They're like, I want it. And then they're reading it, and they're like, I'm crying. I'm literally crying right now. Why do you have to do this to us? I'm just sitting there. I'm like, I cry too.
When you say they want a second episode, have you actually recorded the first episode? Or is that just reading it?
No, just the script.
That's just reading it.
Right. I just want to get that clarified. I wasn't sure there.
So I'm guessing. So, go on, Wayne.
So how long is the episode lasting? Like, the script wise, how long would you say they're going to last?
Between 25 and 30 pages, but usually it's around 25.
So it's quite a short show episode wise.
Yeah, I feel like it's the future now. A lot of shows are now doing that length, and it works quite well.
Cool. Hank, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, so that's obviously more of a long-term plan to put that together. You're still in the phase of looking at people that potentially come in as cast and stuff. What else are you guys working on that's more current?
We're kind of having a break at the moment. I feel like we've done so much in like a short period of time that we're just having a chill and just writing, because we hadn't wrote anything in a while, because we were so busy in doing editing and just like production. And then Lee's writing spin-offs of my spin-offs, and I'm like, okay.
When the idea comes, you have to go with it.
Yeah, and then we've just ended up with how many spin-offs?
I think like 3 or something. 3, so 4 maybe.
What have you got? What's out there?
The music video's out, Road Trip.
Yep, I've seen that one, yeah.
We've got
British Suspicious
Minds in post-production. We Are Gold Short in post-production. And another series that's out now is British Horror Stories.
Right. Yeah.
So we've got a horror story coming out each week based on local legends and like myths and just things like that, because a lot of people don't really speak about it. So if they do, it's usually just in writing, whereas if you make a visual, it brings a lot of people in.
So when you say local legends, are you thinking Sunderland or the whole northeast?
Whole of the northeast, but then branching out as right. well towards the whole of the UK.
What kind of legends can we get to know any of them?
Well, the one that I've done is Doxford Park, because that's right next to us, and it's so haunted, like it's like unbelievably. And the amount of ghosts I've seen in there, and a lot of people have investigated the house that belongs to the, like, it belonged to the land.
I know about the house, yeah. I know a lot about the house.
The house isn't even haunted. Like, I can pick up straight away if something's haunted, and it's like nowhere near. But as soon as you go through the grounds, I've seen loads. I've seen the Grey Lady at least 3 or 4 times. She's come to us in my sleep to try and lure us to the park. And then there was another one, which I think was the original owner of the house, and she was stuck behind bars in the park, like a cave, and it was just really weird, and I thought a lot of people should hear about it.
So if you're saying that you've seen, like, the Grey Lady and stuff like that, do you have, do you feel like you're a bit of a medium?
Not really. I feel like I can't really see ghosts that much, but sometimes I do. It depends on their energy and how strong my energy is.
So like a medium, because I've never seen a ghost ever.
Yeah.
Like clairvoyant. It just means clear vision. So sometimes I do get visions of things, and it's very rare.
Mm. So when you say you get the visions, I'm more curious than anything else here. Do you actually get to say exactly what they look like, or is it more just like an outline or
like vague or something?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's in the corner of your eye. Right. And that's how I know what the Grey Lady looks like. She had long black hair. She was wearing a wedding dress. She was just dripping wet. And then the other one, she was wearing a red Victorian gown and she had auburn hair. But I was with my best friend at the time and she was like, did you just see that? I went, yeah. And she half described a person and I finished the description and we both saw the same person.
I'm curious with this show. Do you get any professionals or anybody involved, like ghost hunting teams, things like that, or is it just you guys presenting, or from personal experience?
Just us at the moment.
Yeah, it's more of a narration type videos.
Yeah.
It sounds interesting. And that's available now, is it?
Yeah, the first episode, the next one is Friday.
So where are these available?
YouTube as well. YouTube. Visionette Media. Everything is on there. Like, it's just getting overloaded.
Did I also hear that you guys have done a short film version of We Are Gold?
Yeah,
Still.
Well, I actually just finished another version of it.
All right, so that's not available yet.
No, not yet.
The
script's finished, and I've already contacted the actor who was involved with the other, which was Pierre Brown, because he's amazing, and he knows he's amazing.
I know Pierre well. How did you meet Pierre then?
Through the Monday Blues audition.
That's how
I've met so many people. And then I'm like, these are so good. And then I was like, I'd love to work with this person. And like pretty much everyone at one point or another. It just depends on the project.
So the short film version of We Are Gold, is that kind of like a proof of concept? Or does it take part of the pilot? Or is it just a separate story?
It's more about the siblings and the fallout from stuff that's happened with the parents, and the kind of in arguments because one's took one side and the others took a totally different side. So there's like a rivalry there. And it's kind of like Tiffany tries to go and make friends with people. She wants to try and have a normal life. And then her brother just turns up and ruins it, essentially. And she just can't stand that he has to ruin every little bit of her life. And it's kind of about that. But then the part two is about a flashback to when she was in rehab and her brother was the only person who visited her. So it's very, very different. And it's not really near the show because that would take a lot of work.
Yeah, they're separate from the show itself, but that do involve lots of details that will be involved in the show.
So more of kind of like a preamble, like a prequel.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So yeah. All these spinoffs that you're talking about, Lee, that you're doing based on all of Lola's work, is this going to be like the Visionette universe? Are they all going to be connected?
I hope so.
Everything's connected. Monday Blues is connected to We Are Gold. We Are Gold's connected to, I don't know if I'm still going to do Fire Away. Probably not. It's connected to Suspicious Minds through the agency that's called International Crime Service. And then we'll have that as a spinoff as well. And then Lee started writing another one. Then we've got a character from We Are Gold has a spin-off because she wants to go back to a law firm and create another one. So then we've got that character called Julianne as Law. So that's also in development.
So basically you've got the double L brings you the double V. The vision verse.
That's so much. It's just, I don't know how we do it.
Do you guys have like a big cork board with like all these little bits of script everywhere and then like lines connecting them, like a conspiracy board? Because it seems like it's going to start to get a little confusing to keep track of everything.
We need to invest into one of them, yeah?
I feel like it's so easy for me. I don't know why. I think I'm just so used to it. I've had the ideas since forever.
Have you never accidentally crossed over into one though?
Yeah. By accident writing the wrong character's name and then realising and I was like, oh, right.
I think that's what Hank was meaning about the cork, so you've got the line spreading off, so you don't do that kind of thing.
Yeah, it just happens sometimes, and then I realise, and I'm like, yeah, let's just erase that.
Wow, so you guys keep yourselves very busy. That's always good. And you've been building up a fan base. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's
what kind of feedback have you been getting so far?
Positive. Yeah, I don't think we've had anything we haven't had any negatives. Mm. I think it's because we've interviewed famous people and their fans, and they're just so grateful that somebody's managed to do an interview, and they're just like totally grateful, and everyone's been so kind and supportive, and then they've become fans of ours through that, which is just weird.
How do you find it being interviewed now that you've been doing a lot of interviewing?
Lee, do you want to answer that?
It's different, but it's still fun.
What do you prefer? Do you prefer being interviewed or do you prefer interviewing?
How shy are you guys?
Yeah, I'd like to interviewing because it's more kind of control over what happens.
Yeah.
So when
What's
the matter?
That's so weird. I just realised that's what it's like on the other end of things for everybody else. I never really thought about it that way.
Yeah, exactly. So when you interview people, I'm guessing you're doing the research on them and things like that, so you know what kind of questions you're asking.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, the guests that we've had already knew loads about, so I didn't even have to do any research.
Right.
Lee probably did, but then again, I've been spamming them with TV shows to watch beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
For all that good old research.
Yeah, it's a shame we've waited for like 3 to 4 months for an interview with somebody, and I was so prepared, and that agent was like, come back in the summer because she'll be free then. So I come back in the summer, I get ignored by the agent, go to the publicist, and the publicist said, oh, she's not even available. I was like, I can't believe it. I just can't. I'm still so upset about it.
It can be weird when you get the runaround. It's much better when you can talk to them individually, and it's just so much easier than going to that third party.
And the annoying thing is, half the time, the celebrities themselves would say yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Agents just won't entertain you. It happens a lot, sadly. Agents can be very fickle. And I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to protect their client, but sometimes it's like, well, just ask them. You know, it's not a hard question to ask.
Yeah, I'm really tempted to tweet out and stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah. It's just like when you get the reply, that says like, you know, oh, I'll ask them and get back to you. And it's like 4 days later and you're just thinking, how long is this conversation going to be? How hard is it to email them? Oh, by the way, are you available then? And like 2-3 weeks later, it's like, oh, but sorry, they're busy.
Yeah, sometimes you've got to remember though, if they're on shoot in the middle of something, there's not a lot of communication goes on between agents and actors all the time. So I can kind of understand a little bit of how difficult it must be, but you're right. There's common courtesy where they could turn around and get back to you and say, well, listen, I'm afraid they're out on a shoot at the moment. This might take a few weeks before we can sort something out. But they don't think like that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
at the moment, everyone's on strike pretty much. So I don't think many people are actually working.
Mm.
So it's kind of like, I feel like it's the perfect time to like try and get celebrities, but all we've had is rejections. So it's kind of like, okay, so I just keep sending them off.
Another big part of the creative industry is, yeah, you will always have a bunch of rejections and a few lovely things to pass through.
And it just makes you appreciate the ones that come through when you get them. Because it is hard. It's a hard, you know, I mean, I look at some of the press who's been around for years, and even they still struggle sometimes. You know what I mean? So it's like when we spoke to some of the celebrities, we're still enthralled when we get the celebrities because we know how hard it is. So I think, you know, what you've done so far has been brilliant. So, you know, keep doing it. Just don't get too disheartened when you can't get them. You know, you just got to keep believing in what you're doing. Keep pushing it.
Oh, you got to remain positive and keep plugging for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've learned new skills, though.
Good.
Quite a lot, especially
What kind of skills have you learned then?
To decode redacted information.
Oh, you've learned that skill. We'll just put that out. Yeah. You've learned that skill.
Ouch.
I took one look at the redacted information. I was just like, how do you decode this? Like, what? You can't even, all that could make out was it a G? And next thing I know, Lola's got all the details. I'm just thinking, blimmin' hell, Dr. Strange over here knows what she's doing.
That's because you've had your head in a microwave too often. Your brain's frazzled.
That's the clairvoyance, man.
It's so easy, though. I don't get why he doesn't know. I've literally, then again, I found a secret place to find all the details so you don't even have to worry. I need to send Lee the lists over.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, man, she's working from a cheat sheet.
Not always. I only found it the other week and I was like, okay, I'm like, this is good.
Oh, sure. Now that you've impressed him with your decoding skills, now you've found a cheat sheet. I'm with you.
Yeah, it's not even accurate. That's the thing. I've sent some of these and they're like, oh, they don't work at you anymore. I'm like, okay.
Oh.
I'm curious and I want to go back to, not to put anyone on the spot, I want to go back to the new ghost show that you're doing. Lee, do you have any experience with like mediumship, clairvoyance? Have you ever seen a ghost, things like that?
Oh, lots of experience, I'll say.
Don't even talk about the Double L show because the amount of ghosts that went across the back of my screen and stuff.
Yeah, so basically, when I was a kid, like 4 years old, we lived in my granddad's house for a time, and my grand, basically, this is what my mum used to say. I used to always just stay in the corner at a night time and say, like, see things. And, I remember one time just hearing someone walking up the stairs and I looked and there was no one there. I've seen a bottle, and this is a weird one. It was a water bottle and I put it down on the table and you know, like when you put it down, it jiggers a bit. And then it started rocking side by side and I'm just sitting there for like 2 minutes watching this bottle move on its own, thinking, I don't know what to do. And by the time I said, you know what, I'll try and film, and it stopped. I saw a person who had died a week after they died standing in my bedroom door. The same night, my mum saw the same thing.
Mm.
Oh, there's too many there to explain.
Well, the reason I ask, and I'm so curious about it, because Wayne and I have done live events, which we call Skeptic Challenges, which is where we take people who are believers and also people who are non-believers into haunted locations with paranormal teams and basically prove or disprove, or all we're looking for is basically anything you can't explain, how these phenomenons exist. And I feel like everything I've heard so far, I could articulate a reason why they didn't happen. And I wonder how much and how heavily you believe. Do you believe enough that you'd be willing to take a skeptic challenge to challenge that belief?
It'd
be interesting.
Mm. Cool. Mm. I think that sounds like a crossover there, guys. Skeptic challenge with the Visionet Media team, the ghost stories. That could be interesting.
Definitely interesting avenue.
Yeah.
I mean, Doxy Park's a really good one because a lot of people haven't done it. So, and they just, I think there was this one time where me and my friends, it was pitch black because it was November. I was like, for my birthday, I want to go into the park. And I saw the weirdest thing. And I was just like, okay. Like, there was eyes glowing in the trees. And then there was like a figure in the distance. And it was just really weird. But.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to try and debunk anything today. Because obviously I'm only hearing little bits and snippets. I'd rather be on location with you. We'll all have a chat and everything. I think that could be a lot of good fun. And, you know,
definitely.
The point of it is not to try and be like, you know, mean about it. It's me and Wayne would love to believe in these things. But until there's anything happens to either of us that we can't explain away with an element of rationality, common sense, or science, then it's like, you know, I can't believe in something I can't fathom. That's why I'm an atheist.
That's where the whole show came from, wasn't it? Because there's nothing more than I'd love to do than sit down and have a chat with a ghost. Yeah, I'd probably shit myself, I'm not going to lie, but I think it'd be so fascinating. But I just, because I've never seen it and I've never really felt like I've been in that situation or anything, I just struggle. But I'm fascinated by the stories, what I hear, and I love to hear more about what people go through and that. But like Hank says, until I physically experience this or cannot answer why it could possibly happen, then I'd struggle. But
yeah, when you tell me things like you've seen, you know, this gray woman, like in Doxford Park, I'm envious over that. I want that experience. I want to see something I can't explain. So that's what we're always hoping for.
See, it's hard. It's like sometimes you're kind of born with it, but sometimes you can kind of learn to open your mind up to it. And I use crystals for stuff like that if I'm going to, but sometimes it picks and chooses times where it'll try and draw us back into it. Whereas other times I try and keep away. I mean, I've got an Ouija board in my boot, so I haven't even touched it.
And I mean, just out of curiosity, do you put much faith in Ouija boards?
I don't know, because I've never tried one at all.
I'll let you know a little secret about a Ouija board. It's actually a child's game.
I know.
Yeah, I know. I've saw a pink one in sale in a shop before, in the kids section.
I find it crazy how so many people have took this Ouija board myth and made it become such a horror thing when it was always put out as a child's game from ages five and up. Yeah, from when it was first ever introduced. And I'm thinking, how did this ever become a gateway to the afterlife? I've got no idea.
I just think, like, in the 1800s when, like, basically ghost photography was something of entertainment and family fun. Like, for the fun for the family, go around and do the, like, table turn sort of ritual. I just think it was made for that period, and over the time, as attitudes sort of changed, you know, now we think, oh, can we speak to a spirit? Let's use the Ouija board.
Wow, do that again?
Yeah, that was actually awesome. Brilliant. That was good. You did that well.
You may be in the haunted mansion.
Yep. Is this room getting taller? I think you do that very well.
Speak to me.
Speak to me of the undead.
Cool, love it.
Yeah, my family used to use Ouija boards in like the early 1800s, and apparently they just never touched it again because bad experience or something. But one of them who played it, he was very psychic. And that's why I think it runs in my family. He used to come out with the most random things, and my grandma used to just laugh at him, like, yeah, as if that's going to happen. And then when he died, loads of them happened, and she was just like, I can't believe it.
Yeah, I got put off a Ouija board after hearing what happened to me mum when she was like 16, to where she was playing it. Apparently the candle blew out on its own, and me mum thought someone was holding the candle against her back because she said her back was burning. As if, and she got scratched all down her back. In like the say, nobody was touching her. There was no one near her. So I was like, "Oh hell no! I am not getting scratched by anything."
See, this is exactly what we fight for. We're like, yeah, if we hear someone do that, we're like, okay, now they should do it to us. Let's do it. Go, 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 go.
It's like there's a place up in Edinburgh, and I think it's some sort of fireplace or something, and it's supposed to be like one of the most haunted places, and they won't let you stay longer than 3 seconds or something, because they're frightened in case you get seriously hurt. So me and Hank literally both said, give us a sleeping bag, we'll go there.
Yep.
You know,
I'll do that.
There's the Edinburgh Vault as well, that's in that cemetery where apparently that judge who used to sentence people to death, that people go in there, and some people have passed out because of something happening to them, and people have been injured, people have broken bones in there.
See, doesn't that just sound like so much fun going to a place like that? Because either you're going to have an adventure and see some cool stuff, or you're going to get involved with some macabre, crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, win-win. I mean, your worst case scenario is you die or something, but what a way to go. Getting at least ghosted to death.
But then at least you become the legend.
Yeah, you become the proof.
Listen, if I get killed by a ghost, my ghost is fighting that ghost for super heaven.
You know what? There's a movie in that. Visionist should be taking notes here.
Exactly. Yeah, it's your next film, you say. Yeah, next TV show.
Nah, if there's any ghost that would come after me, it's the one from Doxy Park, because she won't leave us alone.
No.
She might fancy her.
No, she wants to show us something, and she's what? I don't know what she wants to show us, but every time I've been lured over into the grounds of the house, and then the dream's just gone, so I never know. Mm. But I've been given names in the dream, and I couldn't remember them.
But what if she's trying to lead you to like a treasure she had in life that could like change your life for the better, like a big gold brick or something? You should probably follow that through and find out.
Yeah, I don't think I can get onto the grounds, although I do know the owner.
Lee's got some bolt cutters. It's all good.
Oh, no, I wouldn't want to break in that millionaire's mansion.
Oh, it's a millionaire's mansion?
Even
better.
Yeah, I'm the only one who's actually been in it when it's been done out, and it's just unreal.
Dude, let's all go find this ghost immediately. I like the sound of this.
I agree.
See, I don't know Doxford Park. I didn't know there was a millionaire mansion on it.
It never used to be, that's why.
Yeah, they burnt it down.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's the building I'm thinking of, it was derelict for years. All the drug users used to use it and everything. And then it got burnt down badly, yeah.
Yeah, and it got rebuilt all the way from the ground. It's got a pool now and everything.
I did not realise it had been rebuilt, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I saw it when it wasn't finished, and it was just so beautiful inside.
So what I'm hearing is, get invited in, because you have to be invited in. Or is that vampires?
It's vampires, exactly.
Oh, that's vampires. Get invited in. Look for the treasure. Worst case scenario, pool party. Boom.
Worst case scenario, you get bit by the vampires and become a vampire.
Yeah, also good.
Exactly.
So, Lola, I know that I've seen, obviously, your road trip music video. And, obviously, I heard the song you did for the teaser for Monday Blues. You obviously do a lot of songs and you play the ukulele. Have you thought about putting together like an album, or what's your long-term goals with that?
I don't really have any. I mean, I recorded the song again for like Monday Blues. I thought it could use an updated version.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, I'm just more bothered about getting another ukulele. I played another one and I was like, I want the biggest version I can get. And it just sounded so good. So that's my ambition, to get the uke.
Do you not want to switch to a full guitar then, if you just want something bigger?
No, I just can't play guitar. I've tried loads, and I tried to play it with my friends, and apparently I played chords, but
it's like the same principle though, isn't it? How many strings is on a ukulele?
Very different.
Uke's got 4 strings, guitar's got 6.
Yeah, there's 2 less. Okay, so
yeah,
it's a lot thicker to move your fingers across then, huh?
Yeah, and I used to have one as a kid, but it was literally so big that I couldn't play it.
Mm.
Yeah, but there's like different sized like acoustic guitars. Like the first one I bought was huge. Like I could barely look over to see where the strings were, but then I found a electric acoustic, which was a perfect size, and yeah, that one you could play it really well.
Mm.
I just love instruments. I mean, I've got a bongo, I've got drumsticks, harmonica, kalimba, piano. I've just got like the lot.
No, I love my harmonica, like, even though it annoys me mum to hell and the neighbours.
Can you play the harmonica?
I can't play the harmonica.
Well.
I've got my key ring on here.
Harmonica.
give us a quick turn then. Come on.
So it's only a tiny little key ring, so it doesn't.
It's not even making noise though.
It does.
It's not picking up if that's
the case. I'm not getting it. Oh, that's disappointing. Oh. I want to hear it. I want to hear the harmonica. No, nope. It's not working.
Won't. It doesn't pick up music, usually.
Oh.
Lame, man. Lame. But that's a lot of instrumentation. So, yeah, I feel like you will eventually go back to guitar with ukulele. Once you get the new ukulele and it feels really fresh and exciting, you'll probably be inspired to keep exploring.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go back to doing drums because I sell my snare drum, but I've got no room. I've got no room for anything else. And I'm going to get a new uke, but at least I can put that on the wall.
True. We've got an electric set. Takes up very little space. And it still sounds just as good as a real one in many ways. It's not quite as responsive, but it's very nice.
Still cool.
Yeah, it's still cool. I don't have the
space. My room is a box room, and it's already full.
So what's your guys' long-term goals with Visionet Media? Like, what steps are you taking to move bigger and better all the time and all that sort of stuff? Because obviously you've got a lot of ideas you're running through. So I'm guessing it's going to take a case of expansion over time to get those ideas out there.
I'd say we'll kind of want to aim to at least make some money, maybe get a commission, and then build up to, but we want to get better equipment because it's expensive and we can't really afford it. I mean, we're using a Canon 800D. It shoots 1080p, which is all right. But yeah, I don't know. I think we're just
quite
better.
Young, you're quite young though, aren't you? As a group. Have you never thought of trying things like the Prince's Trust and stuff like that to help you get gear?
No. I haven't really thought of them.
I don't know if it's legitimate or what.
Yeah, because aren't you, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not trying to, you know, name and shame, but you're both under 25, right?
No.
No.
I'm 27 this month.
But you are though, Lola, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Prince's Trust, you can ask for a bursary of up to, I think it's £7,500 toward artistic dream. And as long as you're under 25, you can apply for it. If they give it to you, you're allowed to spend it on whatever you want to up the chances of your creative outputs.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's a few different schemes like that around. There is,
yeah, but that's the first one I thought of, and it's worth looking into. You know, I mean, even if you didn't, I don't know, get somebody like Liam to do it, or get somebody, you know, there's a few, you can set a little company up each and do it, and then get it all come together as the same, what's the phrase when you all come together as companies? Consortium. Come through as a consortium of companies, and you can build your own equipment up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we all kind of share things at the moment.
So there you go.
Well, Prince's Trust, I believe, is individuals only. And then there is some for startup companies as well, grants and bursaries. Specifically, I feel like Creative UK may have one for young artists, which I would double check. I would look into it. I would check a few of the major places: Creative UK, BFI, British Film Commission, etc. And also just, you know, Google up, you know, young artists, bursaries, grants, because there's all kinds of stuff for people under 25, especially if you've if you're not in uni. You know, and you're either actively employed or self-employed, then I think there's special grants available just for those.
Oh, that's cool.
I need to look into it. Like.
And the worst thing what's going to happen is they'll say no. It's not like you're going to get shot for asking. You know what I mean? But the best thing outcome is you're going to get money and get better gear, better, you know, new equipment.
Definitely.
Oh, it's always worth looking into. But it's exciting times all the same. And I like that you guys have so much passion for wanting to do these things, that you've got a lot of long-term goals in the sense of building these stories. And then, like you said, spin-offs to those stories. It's not just taking one idea and running with that forever. you've got a lot of different stories you want to tell.
Yeah, I don't even know where they came from, to be honest.
It doesn't matter where they come from. Doesn't matter where they come from. Where does any idea come from? You just suddenly think of it. So, you know, that's irrelevant. It's getting the idea down and then getting it out there and produced. That's mm-hmm. all what matters.
Yeah, just hoping to make more connections and stuff like that.
It'll happen. It'll happen mm-hmm. in time.
Given time, yeah.
The main thing to remember is don't let people get under your skin. Don't let people make you think that you're not worthy of it or you're not good at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You're as good as you want to be. You're as good as what you'll ever be. So just keep doing what you love doing. There's one thing I always say with life. Life is, it's too short. Blink and it's gone. Seriously. I mean, I'm coming up 50 this year. And the things I look back over, what I wished I'd done or I wished I'd done earlier or I wished I'd tried to do, life's totally different now where you've got those opportunities. It was harder for me growing up because the opportunities weren't really up in the Northeast back then. Now you've got them. So you've got to grab them. You've got to go for them because in a matter of no time whatsoever, you look back and think, why didn't I do that? Oh, that was the best thing I ever did. Do you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. it'll propel your career further forward. So follow your dreams, follow your heart because you'll only get one go at it.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people judge the filmmakers, especially starting out. They're like comparing them to like big productions and it's just so wrong because it puts people off when you're getting compared to bigger things. It's not in the same league.
It is in a sense for sure. Because I mean, for one thing, when you're comparing someone who's done something with passion with some friends versus say a $20 million movie, there's always going to be discrepancy in the level of technical merit. However, I can see why, and I think people do and should compare things to bigger projects. And I'll tell you why. It's very easy for you and your friends to make something cool, but you'll have technical deficiencies as you're learning and as you're growing and as you're getting better equipment and things like that. Identifying the places where you can mitigate those or improve those is vital to becoming better at what you do. If you feel like what you're doing is perfect now, you will never actually get better. And you always have to be able to look at your own work. I mean, yes, some people are going to be needlessly critical and be dicks about it. It's always the case. Just like some people will be needlessly nice about it and just go, it's amazing. But you have to be able to look at your own work and say, well, what's good about it? What's bad about it? Because everything we've made has never been perfect. There's always something we can improve on somewhere. I mean, God, David Fincher thinks that Fight Club is a broken movie and he wishes he could fix it. I'm sitting there like, what? It's the best movie ever made, you lunatic. But because it's his movie, it'll never be good enough. And I think that's actually a good thing to strive for, is to look at your own work and say, the sound could have been better here. The lighting could have been better there. And even before you have better camera equipment, lighting is a really important thing to learn to get the most out of your scenes. When it comes to your singing, or vocals or anything like that, microphones, the type of microphone you use has a wild impact on the quality of your voice or the quality of the acoustics and things like that. And these are things to look at where you want to improve from a technical standpoint to mitigate those people who look at you and go, well, this $25 million movie has better whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It'll always have something that seems technically better, but you can get closer and closer to matching it to where you're like, yeah, but I made this for like, let's say, I don't know, $1,000. And they're like, holy, no way. Because the closer you get to it, the more blown away they'll be by your level of talent.
Yeah.
And I think as well, you know, it's good because years ago, if you were saying to people that I'm a filmmaker, they just laughed at you. It's like, there's no filmmakers in England. Do you know what I mean? Seriously,
the entry cost was massive just 25 years ago.
Exactly. So now that they're actually saying that, yeah, but you're not as good as those, but at least they're actually taking it to face value that you are a filmmaker, which is great, you know, because that means things are changing. Things are becoming more positive. So that's, we have to take that in a good positive light and think, this is a stepping stone moving forward that England's getting better for it. So, you know, keep pushing it. Keep doing it.
Oh, yeah. Don't let anything hold you back. But I am mostly talking from a technical standpoint, the things that can be improved or learning better story structure over time. The more you write, the better you'll get with it over and over and over and over and over again. et cetera. Practice makes perfect. You know what I mean? As long as you don't think everything you've done is perfect, you always can find little ways to improve and get better and better and better. But the other thing about creative arts is they're subjective.
Exactly.
And if you take 100 people to, for example, your music video of Road Trip, if 100 people listen to that and watch that, you might get 50 who think it's the most beautiful song they've ever heard, and 50 you go, I'm not into pop trash or something like that or whatever. And then, you know, a bunch of people will go, I don't really like this video. And a bunch of other people are going to go, that is such a lovely video, because it's subjective and you're always going to get both sides of the opinions. Don't let one set, the negative set, override the positive ones.
Yeah.
It's like any true filmmaker, actor, performer, entertainer. I think if you truly ask them, they would all pick problems with their own selves or own work. And because the idea is you always want to better yourself. And yeah. And I think that's the key thing to remember. You know what your strengths are. You know where you want to be. And you could watch your own stuff back or listen to your own stuff back, and you're thinking, shit, if only I did that slightly different, or if only I did that there, or I shouldn't have said it that way, or I shouldn't have like sung it that high, or I shouldn't have. But that's what we do. We always, and that's how we grow. That's how we learn. That's how we get better. That's how we adapt. And, I think you've got to have those imperfections to move on. Mm-hmm. Because if we try to make everything perfect, we'll never achieve anything.
Well, plus hitting a home run every time will get boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, if anyone's ever needlessly mean to you, Lola, just sick Lee on them, because I know he's Batman. I'm on to you, man. I know you're Batman.
Just tell him to growl at them. Just
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Growl, Lee. Growl. See? There you go.
See, now I see my friend's Wolverine.
Possessed by a demon. He'll come and haunt you.
What have you been saying?
Hey, that's pretty good.
Who are you going to call?
Lee.
Vision and Media. Good stuff, guys. Is there anything else you want to bring up for our audience?
I don't think so.
Catch the next episode of British Horror Stories about Marsden Grotto next Friday.
Ooh, Marsden Grotto. Cool. Yep. And so, push the address where they can go for these again.
I was just going to say that.
Visionet Media on YouTube. And do you have pretty much every social.
Oh, and every social as well, yeah. Is there anything special the way it's spelled or anything? Or is it just straight Visionet Media?
Visionet Media, that's it.
Yeah.
Every social, guys. So I'm guessing that's like,
Instagram, like MySpace,
Facebook, Flickster. No, I'm kidding.
TikTok. TikTok's actually going pretty well. I put our video up and it's got like 900 views.
Oh,
I
nice.
Didn't expect 10.
Do you know what's so weird about TikTok? We were briefly playing with TikTok, but I found I'm just too old for it. And I would put on like, walking to work and there's like 18 Amazon trucks pass by and it gets like 50 views. And then like, I got to calm down with a Jack Daniels, 100 views. Oh, here we set fire to this toy and it exploded, 7 views. And then one day I'm videoing, I'm like, there's a little bug, like a ladybug crawling across the ground. And I put like an action song to it. That was like 36,000 views for this bug walking across the concrete. And I'm like, right, I don't understand how you work TikTok. I'm abandoning you. I'm too old.
It's crazy.
It just feels kind of like luck as opposed to skill to find the niche.
Yeah.
Like you're always just shooting into the dark, hoping something hits. It's weird.
People just tend to do dance videos.
Yeah, really. That's literally it. But like, they also say it's like the kind of hashtags you use, even though... Mm. For a period in like 2021, I used the same hashtags on every single video. And the videos got from between 100 views and 1.1 million views. Even though I never, it was just a stupid duet. And I used the same hashtags and it got 1.1 million views. The next day, I used those same hashtags, 1,000 views. It's like, how do they determine what's going to happen? Like, where's the algorithm on this thing? It's non-existent.
See, I'm too old. I don't. I'm like the guy from Cobra Kai. I'm like, put some hash browns in it. Yeah, hash brown karate. I don't get it. Well, excellent. Well, hey, I think everybody out there, you want to be checking out Vision and Media. Check out the new Double L Show stuff. And you got, obviously, show your support for We Are Gold coming up. Do you guys just call it We Are Gold, or do you like abbreviate it as like the WAG show? I mean, do you have any like tag for it?
WAG.
WAG, people. And I want to thank you guys for having a chat with us today, Lola, Lee. It's been really nice. Wayne, you got any final words before we roll?
Keep it going, guys. Just keep enjoying it.
We'll try.
Will do, definitely.
Darn tootin', you guys. And again, if you want to get in touch with these folks, you search them up on the social medias and everything, or you can get through in touch with us and, you know, we'll pass the details along for you. You can reach us at moviemadness@deadrealfilms.com, as well as our website at deadrealfilms.com/moviemadness. And obviously, if you want to check these guys out, YouTube, social medias, etc., Vision at Media, ghost stories, exciting stuff, podcasts, interviews, celebrities, music videos, short films, and upcoming TV pilots. It's exciting times. Keep an eye on these young people. They're moving places. In the meantime, I want to thank everyone for being here. Wayne, thank you for joining me today. Guys, thank you for joining us. And keep watching those great movies and keep watching Visionette Media. Take care, everybody. Good night.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.